Fletch, Vaughan and Megan.
The podcast.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to the show. Fletch, Vaughan and Laura, who's in for Megan. Thank you, producer Caitlin. Lovely.
Where's mine, Caitlin?
Hi. So, Caitlin's handing out the what's on the show sheet.
Hurry up, stir fry. New little nickname there for Caitlin.
We're going to talk about Caitlin's stir fry.
She looks so thrilled to have another one.
Mm. Find out on the show a little bit later why we're calling her stir fry. Soy chicken stir fry.
I love all the nicknames you give me.
Caitlin's not in a good mood today, boy.
She's a fraggle. She's fraggle.
What does fraggle mean?
This is a cute way of saying fragile. When someone's fragile, you say you're a fraggle.
Yeah, I'm not fragile.
You'd be that mopey fraggle, the one with the hat over his face.
Referencing a 1980s chimpanzee puppet creation.
I haven't been here long enough to really.
It could have been worse. I could have called you the Gorg or the talking trash heap.
Oh my God.
Jim Henson's Muppet Workshop. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Sorry, Caitlin, you're not the talking trash heap or a Gorg.
Feel free to staple his hand if you'd like.
Fraggles. What else? Yep, great. I'm wearing a beanie today. First time in the beanie for the year.
And you're wearing jeans.
I'm wearing jeans. It's a little too hot.
Yeah, well, right. I put a dress on. I'm really surprised.
I know, you've gone full summer. I felt a little bit nipplier when I woke up this morning, so I put on jeans and a beanie, but I might have gone jeans, beanie too quick.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well.
Fletch, Vaughan and Megan.
All right, I've got three news headlines. You've got to pick one. Headline one, UK museum causes a stink. Headline two, family find live worm in Easter egg. And headline
three. Live worm?
Mm.
What business does a worm have in chocolate?
Exactly, Vaughan. I don't know.
Did the worm think it was dirt? A hard piece of dirt.
I don't know. Headline three, Shanghai Death Simulator open to the public.
Two and three are pretty self-explanatory. I'll go one.
Shanghai. But what's a death simulator?
Death simulator?
I don't know. But it sounds like something that might give me nightmares.
Do you think it's like you go in and it, oh, okay.
Well, you have to pick that one if you want that one.
Museum causes a stink and worm in the Easter egg. I am going to go museum causes a stink just because I think the Shanghai Death Simulator is going to be best
researched
on my own time.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right, well, we go to the UK.
Didn't even ask, Laura. This is the problem with you minimists. You don't ask a female.
Your face just agreed with Vaughan, Laura.
I said before, number one.
Oh, yeah.
Neither of you are listening to me.
That's the problem with you minimists. You don't listen.
I don't listen.
Neither were listening. You have a wife, Vaughan. I think you'd know better.
Yeah.
You have a wife. That's why you're ignoring me.
That's why I tune out females.
And Fletch, I looked straight at you when I said that. Very disappointing.
We go to the UK and the Isle of Wight. Zoo is home to the National Poo Museum. That's right. That's a thing. And I did a lot of research when I saw this story to see that it didn't come out on the 1st of April. It did not. And it is legitimately a thing at the Isle of Wight Zoo, the National Poo Museum, where visitors are able to check out and try and sniff poo from 20 different types of animal and learn interesting facts about excrement. You can also see fossilized poo dating back 140 million years.
Wow. That's an old poo.
Yeah.
What does that poo come from? Dinosaurs.
I'm assuming dinosaurs or something like that, sure. Some of them are illuminated and some of them have been coated in resin.
Wow.
And
to stop them rotting.
So that they're preserved. Yeah. And to see some of the exhibitions, you have to lift up the toilet lid. So it's a little bit interactive.
Oh my God.
That's really cute. And there's a little poo in there.
I mean,
why is it causing a stink? Is there actual, or is that just a pun?
It's a pun, Vaughan.
Gotcha.
There. Yeah.
I feel like local residents might have had a problem.
I wouldn't imagine so.
There'd be no smell.
Maybe unless you've got newer poo. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's lucky this is at a zoo because nobody's going to that by itself, are they?
I'd love to know how they find a new poo and how they get the new poo from wherever it was initially to the museum.
Yeah, to pick it up because you want it to retain its.
Woo,
yeah.
New poo. I got a new one.
Yeah.
But how do they know
Steve's
that?
Steve's overseas. He's just called in. He's found a couple of new poos. He needs to bring them back.
How does a fossilised poo last that long?
It's fossilised. It's not the poo. It's the shape of the poo.
Ah, right.
Yeah. That's the same with a lot of dinosaur bones that they find aren't bones. People are like, that would have broken down. the same people probably think the world's only 6,000 years old, but
right.
It's like the fossilized, something formed around it, formed very hard.
Okay.
And either preserved it or just kept the shape once the actual bone material rotted away.
Well,
so it would just
aren't
be
we learning this morning?
Yeah.
Fledge, Vaughn and Megan.
Here's a story. Hopefully you're not eating. That's why I thought we'd it now.
It'll be, right.
I hope it's pre-breakfast hours.
Okay.
A Brazilian man, 42 years old, was working at a plastics factory and was involved in an industrial accident that tore... This is where she gets to get a bit grim.
Yeah.
It tore the skin off the back and palm of his left hands.
Okay.
As well as his index and middle fingers. So I think by the sounds of it, he's only got his thumb and his little finger left. And a whole lot of tendons are gone too.
Right.
Which is grim. However, it gets worse because in the hope to begin the healing process of this man, they've cut a hole in the side of his abdomen and his hands, like, imagine when you got a hoodie on and you put your hands in your hoodie pocket.
Yeah.
But imagine if it's just your left hand, which is sans fingers, skin and tendons, and the hoodie is just a hole they've cut in the side of your stomach.
Oh my God.
Not the stomach.
Yeah.
Like, just your abdomen region.
This is very grim. Is this getting less grim?
It's going to be in there for 6 weeks.
Oh, no.
Because they're hoping that...
Why?
While it's in there, the new tissue will grow on there.
Right.
Because it's surrounded by other tissue. What if it grows and sticks in there? And then when they pull it out, they're going to be able to put a skin graft on it.
My God.
Grim, huh?
We live in
2016. This seems like something they would have done in medieval times. Stick his hand
so
in his stomach.
So it's on the top of his stomach or it's inside?
No, it's inside. They've cut a hole in the side and he put his hand inside. It's
like
under
a
the
pouch.
Skin.
Like a little...
Yeah.
Like
the hoodie pocket in the side of the stomach. So it's between the skin layer, the epidermis, and the internal organs.
Right.
And it's in there and they reckon it'll be in there for 6 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
How grim is that? I mean, I watched a video yesterday of a rocket taking off into space and then landing again on its end. We live in a world with that technology. Sure, there's a better way to do it than sticking his hand inside his...
But maybe this is what... It'll work. The skin will grow back and the fingers will grow back.
Surely he's got to walk around. Like, how do you seal that? The hole?
I'd be wearing a hoodie.
Because you think about you put your hands in your hoodie pocket all the time, you got breadcrumbs in your pocket. I'm constantly like...
Coins.
Pulling out. Like, if I pull out my jean pockets now... Look at all this fluff.
Yeah.
You don't want that inside.
Well, I'm sure they'll have a bandage over it, a cover.
Do you reckon they'd have like a seal? Like
some
where they stitch it shut
get a
behind
tattoo,
his...
They'll just put some Glad wrap
He's
over
there.
It.
He's there. That's forever. That's for 6 weeks. Everything he does, that's just there, right there. So sleeping.
It's making me feel quite ill.
Like he'll stretch and yawn and forget. I know.
I hope you have, Aiden.
Or
that's
Maybe, but that might be. Maybe we tell a story like this every morning at this time and it just puts you off having a bad breakfast.
So you eat healthy?
Yeah.
Because
like a pie, could you take the top off the pie, it could look like where he put his hand in. So a healthy meal of healthy breakfast of oatmeal, however, doesn't look like that. But that is so...
I've got to
believe it.
But
like, we're sticking in there. We believe it's the best chance his hand's got. And then they're like 3D printing people's ears, so you can just stick a new ear on and grow an ear like that. But still, we're just going to cut a hole in this guy's stomach and stick his hand in.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM.
I saved a life this morning.
Wow. Like...
That's all I have to say.
Actually saved a life or slightly exaggerated because you were up early?
Slightly exaggerated because it was very dark and I was the only one around that stopped. But there was a cyclist that I found... Ass over kite on the side of the road with her wheel a bit.
She have a kite?
Well,
that's her problem. You can't be flying a kite while you're on a bike.
Exactly. I think it just took her in the wrong direction.
The handlebars.
And she fell right over it.
Kite biking. I've seen kite boarding and that.
You didn't run her over.
No, I didn't run her down.
That's why the people who run them over
No, I definitely didn't run her down, but I sat with her until her husband came and picked her up.
What? So
but
what
I
happened?
Felt like saying, well, she said that she just, it was dark and she...
Who's she cycling at that hour of the day?
Well, exactly. Because it was just about 5 o'clock in the morning. So it was like...
Did she have lights on?
Well, at that stage, I didn't see any lights. And I certainly wasn't going to ask. At this stage, I didn't really want to be sitting down there with her going, so...
Too many cyclists would have crashed and then be like, oh, better save my AA battery and turn off my blinky lights. Click, click.
She had her cell phone, but I just thought I should sit with her until someone arrived because
it was
dark and... She was a lady.
Did you contemplate just keeping on driving?
100%.
Yeah. How did you see her? She had no lights. Did you see the accident?
She had a Hovers vest on.
Okay.
And it was quite easy because there, where the two roads sort of meet, there's a grassy.
Right.
Not a grassy knoll, but a grassy part of the thing. And when you see hybrids
on
the grass.
She was just sprawled all across there.
She was just sat there.
So what went wrong? Did she hit the curb?
She hit the curb.
Oh.
That's the most embarrassing, because I've crashed my bike a couple of times.
Yeah.
And once, way back when I was at school, I was just cycling along and I was just in a daze. Maybe I was perving or looking at something. I can't remember. Drove straight into the back of another car.
Well, I didn't have the heart to tell this woman that the last time I rode a bike was only at the gym. So I couldn't help her. Try and fix the bike.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, she probably, I don't think she couldn't have been perving like you, Fletch.
Or very dark.
On the bike.
But that's embarrassing when you're riding
a curb mount. Like, was she trying to get the front wheel up onto the curb? And maybe she did the little wheelie bit that you do to get your wheel up on the curb too early, came back down, then hit the curb.
I went up onto a footpath once and my pedal came down and hit the curb.
Oh.
And I completely flipped over.
Really?
Yeah, embarrassing. That's the worst. Oh, yeah. But it's more your pride because you're like, nothing else stopped me apart from a concrete object.
Yeah, that is kind of embarrassing. But lucky for her, only I saw the aftermath. I didn't see the actual event. And having said that, if I'd seen the actual event, I would have taken me a while to get out of the car because I really laughed.
Would have been
situation.
Laughing. And you don't want to get out of the car while you're laughing and your door shut until you're done with your laughing.
Terribly embarrassing.
I followed a guy pushing a penny farthing for like 15 minutes through Auckland Central the other day. Because I'm like, when he gets on this, he's going to fall straight off. But he didn't. He walked his penny farthing. And there was a penny farthing photo on Reddit of a guy riding a penny farthing in Wellington.
Okay.
But the guy in Auckland literally looked like he fell out of the 19th century. Like he had the big wheel at the front and the little wheel at the back and he had like leather clothes on and goggles.
Be very hard to ride a penny farthing down the footpath on Queen Street because you keep hitting the signs.
You were.
Or your head would hit the Kathmandu sign.
Oh, Hannah's.
Yeah.
That's my electronics. Luckily, that won't be there for too much longer. That's a very ouchy sign. JB, you'd collect all the signs on the way down. But he didn't. He didn't even mount his penny farthing.
I love that that's all you were doing was waiting for him to fall off.
I had a bit of time to burn. So you could get a Snapchat. I am going to watch this guy fall off.
I'm not missing this.
I got photos of him. But not just walking as penny farthing.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Caitlin, please put on the producer microphone. Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Can you hear me, Caitlin?
Okay.
Thank you.
I can hear you. You're very loud.
We are going to bring up what Caitlin did last night because I think it's personally quite disgusting.
What I think is that you might be reading reviews for the latest movie in the Divergent series today. What's it called?
Allegiant.
Allegiant. Is this the final one? It's been Splinter 2,
No, see, I don't know. Has it? Because
I think it's been Splinter 2.
Well, were you left wondering at the end of the movie?
Well, Whitney's read the book. Did she get to the end of the movie and like, well, they seem to have left off the last half of the book?
They left out one major part.
Okay. So, yes, it'll be another movie.
I think there's another part. Okay. I think there's another part. Unless they changed it. Who knows? But it's not the plot and whether or not they liked Allegiant. Last night. The problem is you may be reading reviews and people might be not favouring the latest movie due to their senses were attacked last night in the media screening preview of Allegiant because Caitlin cooked a friggin' chicken soy stir fry, packed it into a little sellable bag or a little Sistema container, picks up her sister Whitney, and they go for a gals' night out at the movies and open up their pongy chicken stir fry and eat it in the movies.
Okay, first of all, everyone should be really impressed that I cooked.
Straight away, the first thing I thought was, well done you.
Yes, because my sister had a very busy day at work and I said, look, don't panic because the movie was at 6:30 and we were like, we're not going to eat beforehand. We're not going to eat after. It's just perfect time to eat dinner during the movie. And I was like, don't worry, I'll make something.
Oh, my God.
And because I can only cook stir fries is the only thing I can cook.
So your culinary expertise extends to making a pan real hot and then throwing stuff into it.
Yeah.
Right. Do you want a cooking lesson?
You've got to be able to cook it.
Everybody should be able to cook a good pie or like a pie thing, like a quiche.
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Something in a baking tray dish. All right, everybody show me how to whip up some sort of pastry top.
I can show you how to do that.
We don't want Caitlin taking an eggy mess to her movies. No. Oh, yeah, James is great in the kitchen, isn't
he? Yeah, shepherd's pie. That's my go-to.
I just don't.
But you wouldn't take the shepherd's pie to the movie, James.
No, because that's social suicide, I would say.
I'd put taking a stir fry to the movies up there with admitting the only thing you can cook is a stir fry.
Okay, do you know what can justify this? My sister once went to the movies and a woman took in a whole cooked chicken.
Yes!
Like from the supermarket.
From the supermarket and ate the whole thing.
Oh, those are stinky.
A supermarket chicken isn't something I'd want to eat in the dark either.
No.
You need your lights to eat a supermarket chicken. Otherwise, you end up eating bits you don't want to eat.
Everyone
like the
takes stuff.
Did you spill any of your stir fry?
No.
Because it's a bit drippy.
No, it wasn't very drippy. It wasn't drippy.
When the lights came on, did you think, oh my God.
No.
It was
fine. I took forks. I took
and it's the
drink.
Only thing you had in there was soy sauce.
Yeah. Oh no. It was a real treat. I put some sesame seeds on.
Oh my god! You're so grim.
That's quite really amazing. Stunk.
No, it didn't. It was fine. I just cooked
it. Didn't stink for you,
but because you had cooked it, everybody else could definitely smell.
We have to smell these popcorn and chocolate. I was being healthy.
Did you get an ice cream or anything after?
No.
It was a healthy option.
Yeah.
I had a friend for a while there when you went to the movies, he'd announce anything he could smell that was non-cinema sanctioned.
Okay, right.
Like a Subway.
Yep.
He'd say, I can smell a Subway quite loudly. But it's amazing what people take into the movies. Butter chickens.
Yeah.
Because the food court's always right beside the movie. So you just grab a butter chicken, you couldn't eat in the dark.
Shall we open up the phone line so you feel less weird, Caitlin, and less alone?
I don't feel weird. You guys are the ones making this weird. Next time we go to the movies, Fletch, I'm going to bring you like a real yum stir fry because it's all I can cook.
It's not just savoury stuff either. I saw a family eat a whole supermarket cake in the movies once.
My goodness.
You know the supermarket cake.
It's very
cake.
Crummy.
And it was, it was all hands. Yeah. There was no knife.
Okay, 0800-DIALS-NM-9696. Give us a call or a text now.
What did you BYO to the movies? When did you take your own
when
food?
When did movies become BYO?
They're not. Some movies are real strict.
They should have a little fold-down tray, though, like as an option, like an aeroplane.
Oh, no, because you'll be in the movies and smelly people like Caitlin will be stinking you out with their soy.
And eating like this.
I'm not saying you eat like that, but I'm saying people would eat like that.
Some text messages on what you BYO to the movies. Somebody said there was no way my mum was paying $5 for a small ice cream. So she went to the supermarket and bought a 2-litre tub of chocolate ice cream, a container of Gaytime mini cones.
Yep.
Which is, to be honest, you're not going to get a better cone than a Gaytime mini cone.
No.
The clown on the outside.
Yep.
That's a Vaughn Smith endorsement. And an ice cream roller. And it was cheaper for her to do that and make us ice creams in the movie than it was to buy each one of the kids going to the movie.
See, I'm not against pre-buying your Maltesers or maybe even your pre-packaged ice creams at a dairy or a servo or a supermarket before.
Yep.
But that's a lot of effort. And then you've got to have... You're watching the movie. You shouldn't be rolling ice cream.
No, you'd have to roll the ice creams early in the trailers, I think. Because otherwise it would melt too much. But then there'd be like half of it left and it would melt and you know mum's taking that home because mums are very resourceful. Somebody said I took some KFC Wicked Wings into a cinema once. The whole place smelled like KFC. Somebody behind me said, can you not eat that? I'm vegan. And we were like, yeah. That's a great story. The lights aren't even down and you've told me you're vegan. That's fantastic. Good.
No, but
good
that's
for you.
Fair enough. Like, it's the hot food is so stinky.
Yeah, like, if KFC, you're not in the mood. I don't eat KFC, but Christ, I love the smell of Wicked Wings.
Yeah, it does
it's
have
nice.
A waft.
Like, if there was a Jean-Paul Gaultier Wicked Wings, I'd have it. I'd be giving a squirt each side of my neck, wrists,
wondering why people keep coming out and licking me.
Yeah, licking me. Yeah.
Laura, what did you see BYO'd at the movies?
People behind me brought in pizza from Pizza Hut.
I love pizza, and nothing accompanies a good bit of light entertainment like pizza. Our old friend pizza.
There was a guy on the ferry the other weekend coming back from Waiheke. A guy had a whole pizza on the ferry and just opened it up and was eating it, and it stank the whole ferry out.
How do you hide the pizza though? Because aren't there rules and regulations around what you can be seen to be actually taking into the movie theatre? Like, don't...
You cut a hole in the bottom of the box and wear it like a hat.
Just
make the top of the head quite warm.
Amazing. All right. Hey, thanks for your call, Laura. Julia, what did you BYO to the movies?
We BYO'd a whole cooked chicken and buns and mayonnaise and everything.
What? How do you see in the movies enough to get the mayo on the buns and isn't that too distracting?
It was quite distracting, but we soldiered on. We did it.
Did you get one of those biodegradable set of cutlery that you get from the supermarket, or did you just go fingers for the mayo?
Oh, we just went fingers for the
Yuck, you're a monster.
Did you think about maybe making your rolls before you got to the movies?
No, we didn't really think about that. It was kind of like a bit of a last-minute
spur of the moment decision, right?
And so you've got mayonnaise and chicken all over your fingers. We know where you're wiping those. Like, that's disgusting. Julia, yeah. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Sky, what did you BYO to the movies?
We brought like a six-pack of Mountain Dew, and they told me to hide it under my jacket, and we just carried it under my arm and bought 5 cheeseburgers from McDonald's and nice. Passed them around.
Fair wow. enough. That's
just
good.
Around with a friend.
But you see, we think it's weird to smell the hot food in the movies, but you go to the movies in America and they do nachos, yeah. hot dogs, hamburgers, all that stuff.
Somebody said they went to the movies in the Philippines and outside the movie cinema they had like food trolleys, like food trucks, but small.
Yeah.
And they said you'd kind of pick whatever you want, and it was literally on the way into the movies. So it was there specifically to cater to people going to the movies. And apparently the Philippines, yeah, you just eat whatever you want. It's a
cool.
huge smell of...
Okay.
All sorts of different foods. Somebody said, my wife and I cooked a whole bag of chicken nuggets in the deep fryer, and our timing was we'd left the house 10 minutes before the movie started with pre-purchased tickets. We'd wrap the nuggets in newspaper and go, go, go. We'd get to the movies, get in, start eating them, and they'd still be nice and warm. Still be nice and hot and even warm for quite a while
oh
after
my
that.
God.
My mate and I always get snacks from the supermarket before movies. One day we were both in the mood for one of those plastic punnets of mussels.
Oh, my God.
The looks, and we overheard so many people just being like, who's eating fish?
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
What it means now if you are someone that constantly has to correct other people's grammar.
The grammar police,
yeah.
by the way, I've found is the most acceptable because grammar Nazi is not nice.
It's not a nice name to associate with someone who just appreciates the correct use of your and your.
Yes, yes.
Or there and there.
There and there and there are.
You know, because some people, it's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
You're a little bit an undercover one because you have to be pretty hot for you to let it slide. Hey.
Well,
like
yeah,
if someone's
okay,
pretty
sure.
hot, you'll be like, oh, they've used the wrong you're there too.
It doesn't
where
matter.
They've Shh. Said then when yeah. they mean then and they've spelled too
so
wrong.
But they're so pretty.
Shush, baby.
yeah. Well, no, they sure. can say it, just don't write it down.
Let's not text anymore.
Yeah, yeah. only call me.
Now, there has been a study carried out by the researchers at the University of Michigan. Now, what they did is they tested everybody taking part. They sent out a flatmate's wanted response.
Okay.
And in the email either was a response that was completely grammatically correct.
Yes.
Or an email which contained like the wrong your or their or, you know, a few less commas and apostrophes in this email.
Oh, Lord.
Now, they have found that less agreeable people are more sensitive to grammatical errors, while more conscientious and less open people are sensitive to typos.
Right. So sensitive people...
Yes.
Are more typo people.
Now,
they believe it to be typos.
Someone who constantly points out typos, who is like the grammar police,
yeah.
He or she observes less agreeable personalities than the one who overlooks the errors.
But no, see, a typo I can understand because your typos are easily identifiable. It's either autocorrect, it's a completely wrong word, like I ducking like you, like that sort of,
okay,
sort
well,
of thing.
Vaughan.
But using the wrong you are there, where, there,
yep.
then, than, twos. That's completely different. That's not a typo.
It's lumping them in together, Vaughan.
Oh, it shouldn't.
Okay,
those are two different. They've got a huge problem with them just lumping everything like
again,
that in together.
Again, so Vaughan and such type people are generally less open and are more likely to judge you for your mistakes.
Oh,
more
yeah,
more negatively
judgment.
Than someone else.
Heavy judgment.
You don't
yeah.
even
heavy
stop judgment. And pause. Just straight into your heavy, heavy judgment.
I've yeah. really had to pull back on... My wife does occasionally
okay.
make
of your children.
The mistake. Yes, the mother of my children.
Yep.
She'll make the your, you are mistake.
Do
I
you go
really
there with
had
it?
To throttle
is
back
it, is
on...
That a, is that a cause for divorce?
Shooting, I don't know where you'd fill that in. Surely that's one of the boxes you can tick on divorce. But like as soon as I get it, I've had to just hold back on firing back just the correct one.
Right.
Because she'll text it, I'll just fire back. Like, if she'll say, you're, I'll be like, you're. And, like, fire it back and then deal with what her message said. So now I deal with what the message said.
But then you're going to make her upset.
Like, she may divorce you. By the way,
sweetie.
That?
Yeah. You've used the wrong you're. And she's like,
and
I
does
hate
she ever
you.
Tell you to shove it up
your all the like, time? Yep, every single time. Every single time.
But you never, yeah, but here's the thing. You're one of these people, Vaughn, but when you make a mistake, you bring it on so much worse because everyone points it out.
No, it's like that albino chap in the Da Vinci Code. But if I make a mistake, I thoroughly whip myself.
Right.
With a Ninetales whip. And everybody else does as well, because that is a fine line you walk. If you ever make a mistake as grammar police, you hear about it way more.
That's why I just don't worry about if someone uses the wrong you're, or there. Just let it go.
I'm definitely getting better, because I was losing friends and alienating myself. And I thought, as much fun as it is correcting people constantly, it's quite nice that people talk to you still. And the good thing about when they talk to you is that you can't hear that they've put an apostrophe where there isn't one.
No.
I found.
Okay, that's
but
true.
Then when you're talking to them, you also hear them say things like performance.
That's a real dilemma for you, though, because you don't like talking to people. You'd much rather have an online conversation.
Very much correct. So. Very correct. Very correct. It's you know, people think, oh, it's easy to sit up there in your ivory tower of punctuation and grammar and cast stones down on us ill-informed, miseducated people. It's not, though, because it's lonely up in Ivory Tower.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
New Zealand has been surveyed about our favourite activities, sports and activities, recreational activities. Yep. And rugby has fallen from its top spot. Now, this isn't just what you do for recreation, but your interests. Okay. So I guess if you've got an interest in rugby, that would have been put on there.
Is it because we're always winning? It's like, oh, they'll win again.
My nan is a bit like that. Oh, they're winning. Like, it'd be good if they lost this one, because it's just so...
My nan says they're getting a bit ahead of themselves.
Such a Kiwi thing, eh?
Yeah. Too big for their boots.
Just hold on.
A loss would do that Sonny Bill Williams well.
Oh, my God.
Because he wins everything he tries.
I know.
And your nana goes, oh, let the Aussies have a turn, eh? Nana.
Oh, no, don't let the Aussies have a turn.
No, I wouldn't go that low.
I would let Samoa have a turn. Let Tonga roll us. That'd be great. That'd be great for the self-esteem. Not the Aussies. So rugby's fallen. From what this says and from what I've read, it might be because less people are playing rugby. The interest remains, but the less people playing it.
Well, it's full on, isn't it?
And all the news lately about the contact sports and the brain injuries later in life.
Yep.
And that's not just rugby, because rugby league's gone down as well. And it's pretty much the
same.
Is
that confirmed, though, that correlation between brain injuries and rugby players? Like, you hear them talk in the aftermatch.
I mean, the line's been drawn about slamming your head into another man constantly for 80 minutes and doing that once a week for like half the year.
But you hear them talk after the match and they sound perfectly fine and coherent.
Yeah, but it's what happens down there.
Great
game.
Right. So walking is our number one.
What?
As our number one interest is sport and recreation. 44% of people asked interested in walking.
Is it because it's big in the mum demo and everyone can do it and everyone does
it? You go, well, I do it without even wanting to or trying to. I do it every day.
But it would be the first point people would start with fitness, though, wouldn't it?
Walking.
You'd walk. You'd just go for a big walk.
Yeah. Walking. So this is the list. It goes walking and then rugby union and then camping or tramping, which I think...
That's good.
30% of people surveyed said camping and tramping, but that's people who like the idea of it but actually haven't been lately. I must get back into my camping.
We've got such a beautiful country and all these like huts and stuff. It's so cool. Don't use them enough.
Swimming and diving's after that. Now, this next one, this is my most contentious issue on this list.
Yep.
Fishing.
Why is
sitting on your ass on a boat, drinking beers is not any sort of active recreation.
Sorry, but on this list, if you could pick one to do, would you not pick the fishing, sitting on your ass?
No, I vomit violently.
I get bored.
Good.
Like, I want to catch a fish in five. You know those fish farms in Taupo? That's my kind of fishing, because you're guaranteed one in like a minute and then you can go home.
Yeah. And you have somebody else handle the smelly fish.
Someone
for
else
you.
Does it. Yeah. And I get a photo with all the tourists. It's great. It's great.
And it's great.
Yeah.
But all right, Matt Watson fishing is active fishing, but he's like jumping out of helicopters trying to catch things. So that's next up, cycling.
Okay.
Because I guess most people in New Zealand would have a bike, right? So you could go for a bike. 26% of people lied and said going to the gym.
Okay.
Again, probably like camping sounded like a good idea. They thought they'd put it down, but then they put it down and laughed and then ate another pack of Rolos, which are delicious.
God, I love Rolos.
I don't know why Rolos popped into my head.
I haven't had a Rolo for so long.
I know.
Do they even still make them?
Where are they? Where do I get a Rolo? I want one.
It was great because with all intents and purposes, you started a Rolo with just a couple.
You know, it's like a Kit Kat.
You're like, I'm just going to have two fingers and then I'll wait. And then
you never do, do you?
You've eaten a whole Kit Kat.
Yeah.
Well, I always think to myself, well, I figure I'll eat them eventually. So I might as well do it one go.
Now. And then I won't have them lingering.
Yeah.
After going to the gym, running and jogging, and then rugby league and soccer at 20%. Netball's not even on the list.
Neither is cricket.
That's sad.
Yeah, but that's, again, that's just standing around in white pants.
Hey.
Like 90% of the time, you just sat out there while some Australians drink warm beer and swear at you. That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Cricket.
Fledge, Vaughan and Megan.
An Australian cricketer called David Warner. Am I right?
You're right. Opening batsman.
I like having Laura around to check my cricket things because sometimes I'll be like, Fletch, and you'll be like, and stall for a little bit. Well, maybe you Google, but Laura's like a... Sports Wikipedia.
Cricket almanac.
Thanks, babe.
David Warner's released on Instagram. He put up a photo of his year 12 report.
This is a bit of a cutesy thing doing the rounds. It's kind of making news, even if you're not into cricket.
I think everybody of notoriety should upload a photo of their school report to let us... Because I don't think school functions... For a lot of people, a lot of successful people would not have fit the mold of what was classed as successful school.
You think now that school reports, because a lot of, would it be fair to say all of our school reports were handwritten?
Yes. Well, even this one's printed out. This one's a computer tick, not a real tick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because if you're a teacher, you'd just copy and paste, wouldn't you?
You would.
I reckon you'd have you'd have seven or so statements and you'd just change the name out. Like an auto reply, but for these different, like you've got your really tries hard getting the results academically, needs to work on social skills. Like you've got that kid.
Yep.
You've got all the different kids and you're just copying.
One was could try harder.
What's that called? Potential.
Potential, yes.
That was the potential. That's the potential kid.
Something about focusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, something about focusing.
Something about going on for a bit long.
Something about not talking so much.
Yeah.
She's a very polite student, but. But if she just applied herself, like she did to a conversation to a schoolwork, she'd be a very good student.
But if you were polite, that's good, right?
Yeah,
silver lining. So what they say, you were polite, but you
talk too much.
That would be rude to talk too much while the teacher is talking, or when you're not supposed to be talking. It would be rude rebutting their point of politeness.
Has your mum saved all of your school reports or some of them?
My mum's not very
hoardy.
No, she's not haughty at all. Sentimental was the word I was after, though.
that shows
the spectrum of people we're working with. Laura's like, I know what you mean, sentimental value. Fletcher's like, are you keeping crap? Like, my mum's far more like you, doesn't keep...
What?
Are you ruthless?
Ruthless. Oh, he's a binner. Bins a lot of things.
Oh, no, I've got a sentimental box of crap. And that's
I love it. Calls a it sentimental box of crap. And special.
It's a tiny shoebox.
It's tiny.
He goes through and cleans it out every now and then. And
it's just for like, throws most of it out. Not sentimental about that anymore.
Yeah.
Chuck it out.
Yeah, oh, exactly. God.
So David Warner said, David only wants to be this was the comment section. After getting a lot of ticks on the lower side of the report card, the only thing he got that was good was behaves in a responsible manner. But at the bottom, the teacher's comment said, David only wants to be the class clown who offers little effort or cooperation. Without a complete change of attitude, these results will not improve. Now, we go back to the cricket desk. Laura, how much money would David earn? David Warner make a year?
Between $3 and $5 million.
He's got
multiple properties in Sydney, beachfront properties. He also has a line of books called The Kaboom Kid.
He writes books.
I think he colours in the pictures. I don't think he writes them. Oh, someone helps him. And he's an incredibly successful cricketer. Actually, the ACC, the Alternative Commentary Collective, call him Davey Dum Dum.
Davey Dum Dum.
So
who's the Dum Dum now?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's worth $5 million. Mm. He's not the Dum Dum, is he?
No, he's doing quite well.
What I'm reading between the lines here is don't worry about your school report and don't try.
Don't lose hope.
Don't lose hope.
Too much. about the school report.
Fletch, Vaughan and Megan.
Saw an article about the average age of people leaving home in, well, around the world.
Okay.
There was some British results and New Zealand results as well.
Yep.
This is shocking.
Okay.
Because when did you first leave home?
18.
Did you go back? Ever go back?
No.
You've never gone back?
No.
I mean for the odd weekend, but you've not been completely cast out from the family.
I'm allowed back for a weekend, but I pay a $50 fee.
Right, you understand? Yeah. Your mum and dad are Airbnb in the spare room, and they can't afford to lose the income. So
exactly.
If you go home, you've got to pay the Airbnb.
Yeah. No,
when did you leave home, Laura?
18.
18. Been back?
I went back for 6 months.
Right, okay.
Okay, that's all right.
I was working in Christchurch. I got a job in Christchurch, and I didn't want to pay rent anymore.
That's, I think, what I left at 18 to go study, and I think I went back for six, maybe a little bit more of unemployment. I was 2 weeks away from being enrolled in police college, whether or not I liked it by my mother.
You would be so good as a policeman with your beard.
With just his beard would be the only redeeming feature as a police
officer.
Absolutely
not. I'd be cool with the kids. I'd be like, guys, you've graffitied on the wall. That's sick. That's real dope. Guys,
no one can see what you're doing with your hands,
Constable Smith.
The dope
Constable
Smith.
I need you to quit slinging the herb and get back to school, man.
Okay.
Let's start a breakdancing crew and I'll get the council to build a skate park.
Okay,
I promise not to sling your tags on it, homie. See, look at that. Did I just solve youth crime problems?
Constable
I think you possibly got your ass beat in the process.
Remember Sniff the Dog? The Alsatian police dog? I'd probably have like a little puppet sort of thing.
You get your ass beat.
Constable
Smith. You wouldn't last five minutes in that uniform.
I'd always wear the long pant.
Okay, you're right. You wouldn't do the shorts.
They couldn't take me seriously as an authority figure with the chicken legs.
I've only ever seen you wearing jandals. How would you handle the boot?
Oh no! I go from jandal straight to boot.
Right,
so okay. that wouldn't be a problem. But I think what we've settled on is I'd be a fantastic officer of the law.
God, could you, Vaughan, so close to becoming a policeman, but you didn't. You moved home.
Find kids with drugs and make them smoke the whole bag. Yeah, if you love drugs so much, kids smoke the whole lot. Actually, don't. It's a terrible way to deal with drugs. So I moved and then I left just before. But I haven't lived back at home since I was 20. 21.
So what has the study found about New Zealand?
Well,
what does it say?
They asked people in their late teens and early 20s when they'd expect to move out of home for good.
Yep.
And the average age adult children expected to leave home was 27.
And we were all 18. What about, I know James, the producer, is back in home as a 26-year-old.
25. Almost 26.
James, just want to ask a question and feel free to tell me it's been too personal and I've overstepped the mark.
Go ahead.
How's it affecting the sex life? Like, I mean your mum's sex life. Is she still doing it in the lounge? Or are you kids like, mum, you've got to stop doing it in the lounge. We're trying to watch The Bachelor.
I tend to just leave that to her. I don't ask.
Right.
And what about your sex life?
Yeah, no, it's...
Is it okay?
Yeah, thank
you. Flourishing? Because your partner lives with her parents too. Did it flourishing
oh
wasn't the right
God.
Word? Every single person here looked at me...
Moving on.
Like,
I think moving
because
forward.
Because that's my main thing. You're not expected to leave home till 27. How are you supposed to... Like establish a relationship.
Find someone you love.
But if everybody is living at home, where do you
do it? Ooh, like, imagine waking up and being like, this is my mum. And this is my dad. This is my brother, Jim.
Yeah.
And this is the dog.
Sneak out. Go, run. Run if you can. I'll distract them.
Sneak out before dad wakes up and gets really angry that you're here.
A really interesting part of the study I was reading saying that nowadays it's also way more about the parents not wanting their kids to leave home.
That would be your mum, James, because she. Cats? I don't think she'd want to let you leave after this. She has been doting on you.
Yeah, she does love me living there. I don't know. I think they.
Your sisters have even commented that she seems happier now that you've moved on.
I was just tagged this morning by my sister in a post about the fact that parents do have a favourite child, and I am their favourite child.
Oh,
we all know
that.
You're the golden boy.
Yeah, yeah.
27, though. Like,
I know.
To be moving out of home is the average age. That's pretty crazy.
I'd like to know, because we've talked about people who stay at home for ages, I'd like to know if your parents are holding you hostage.
Like, because they love you so much living there, they don't want to let you.
Are your parents, maybe, because I reckon Caitlin, producer Caitlin, her best friend is her mum.
That's a girlfriend.
Okay. I have more best friends as well. She's just one of them.
She's one of your squad. Like, if you were Taylor Swift, she'd be Selena Gomez. And then the other people would just be like those girls from Haim and all those other people that you occasionally see her with. But you are Taylor Swift. Your mum is Selena Gomez.
Right. Okay.
But so, if that's a good point. If she lived in Auckland, would live with her.
Yes. But I have lived at home the least amount of time, like, under you guys, because I moved out when I was like 15, 16.
Oh, that's right.
To go to boarding school. But that was just for my future.
You can't say you moved out of home to go to boarding school.
Okay, so you want to hear about the parents that love them living at home so much they don't
they
want them
don't
to leave.
They don't want you to leave. Because I guarantee there'll be parents that don't want them to leave.
Maybe you tried to move out and mum or dad or both were just like, no.
Well, that's
you can't.
You're not ready.
My daughters haven't been teenagers yet, and that might very much change my perspective on how long I want them to stay in the family
home.
It probably definitely will. When I put locks on the doors and stuff, they'll probably start acting out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I kind of, the thought of it is, as a father, weird to think that one day they're not going to be there. So I reckon there'd be heaps of parents just being like, oh, don't go, there's murderers everywhere out there. Some text messages about it. My mate was trying to convince his mum that he's old enough to move out. Every time he brings it up, she goes into the kitchen and comes back with a glass of warm milk and a biscuit and says, you're obviously a little bit tired. Maybe you should pop off to bed, Stephen. He's 19 years old.
Oh, my God.
Look, I know what's going to sort out your grumbly little mood. I'll go make you some warm milk and a little dickie from a little Stevie boy.
That's so cute.
Every time I talk about going flatty, my mum guilts me into staying by telling me how lonely she'll be. Due to a breakup, I'm back home living with my mum. She said I can stay as long as I like, but the stipulation is I shall not be bringing any boys into her house.
Ooh, okay.
But she also told me I'm not allowed to move out until I can afford it. So I don't know when exactly anyone can ever afford.
That's
true. Somebody said my ex is 40 years old, still live with his mum, never moved out. When we were going out, she hated me. Apparently I'd corrupted her adult son against her. She's got him all worked out and he's staying there. My best friend's still at home, 31 years old, never had a girlfriend, never had relations with girls.
Okay.
His parents are totally okay with it and want him to live at home forever. We, as a group of friends, just want him to stay there because he is going to get to the point where he is our 40-year-old virgin.
Emily, you're still at home and mum won't let you leave?
My mum will never let me leave, so I just have to keep getting jobs outside of Auckland.
Wow, okay.
So you're like, mum, I've got to go. It's where the jobs are at. It's the job market.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, so if you got a job, say, in Invercargill, would mum then want to move with you to Invercargill?
No, luckily she would never leave.
So she wouldn't leave.
She hasn't followed me to Dunedin.
So what does she just lay on the guilt trips?
Yeah, it's full-on emotional. I don't want my kids leaving me.
Are you like, okay, mum, if I ever live in Auckland, I'll live with you, but later I'm off to Dunedin.
Yeah. Amazing. All right, hey, thanks for your call, Emily.
No worries.
Jackie, how long have you been back at home? Mum won't let you leave.
4 years now.
Oh, my God.
But you've tasted freedom, Jackie. You can't be under the strict regime of mum and dad again.
I know,
But why won't she let you leave?
I don't know. I think because it's just her. It's just my mum.
Right.
And my brother's overseas and we've got two kids and she has like this love-hate relationship with us being at home.
But you've got an on-site babysitter though. That's a positive to being there.
It is. But then she gets angry about it as well.
But then if you tried to move out, she'd lose the plot.
Oh, she'd be devastated.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're in trouble, love.
Hey,
Jackie,
thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Tim, what happened? How did mum ruin it for you?
Well, we're quite good friends with the person whose house we're moving into.
Yeah.
And she actually went up to him and said that I'm not letting him leave. You know, you can't take him sort of thing. And then whenever I bring it up, she's just like, oh, yeah, no, you're too tired. Just go to bed.
So you were going to move into a flat and she rang the person and said he's not moving in with you?
Oh, no, well, we're quite good friends with them and they went to, like, a party together and she basically just told him, no, it's not happening.
She sabotaged your attempts to leave the nest.
Do you pay rent at home, Tim?
No.
Oh, sweet gig mate. That's a sweet gig. I'd milk that for
another
few years.
Love how many
years.
Parents are telling their kids they're tired and they're making silly decisions.
Yes. Come on, have another.
I know, right? Thanks, Tim.
I'm the youngest. My mum won't let me go or let me move out. She happily bid adieu to the three older siblings, but now I'm the only one left. She says leave me. I'm currently living in a flat, and my parents want me to move back home, and they're always bringing it up. And I'm like, no, and they're like, come on. Wow. Somebody else says, my mate who's 30 lives with his mum and dad because his mum makes his lunch every day and does his bookwork for him and his washing.
Oh, that's cute.
Their other son, who's 34 years old, moved out but then freaked out and built a house 100 metres down the road from his parents so he can still go and get his washing done from his mum.
Wow, that's another world, isn't it?
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM.
Snapchat.
Uh-oh.
I'm so nervous. Oh, my God.
So Laura's first time playing Snapchat.
You can't be scared, Laura. They can smell fear.
Listeners will smell the fear and they'll pounce on it and then they'll take advantage of it.
Yeah. They're like hawks, sharks and Jehovah's Witnesses. They can smell fear.
Oh, my God.
That's why I'm like, bring it on. I'll answer all of your questions.
No, oh, see, you've got Pippa. You got to give up. Play it cool. Constable Smith, kids. Just play it cool.
Okay, no.
Everybody relax.
We need to talk about that a little bit more.
I want to get just a throwback to an earlier voice break. I think we should get a police uniform and have you doing, like, Constable Smith safety video.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I'll totally do it.
Yes, let's do that.
Making your community a better place.
Brilliant. Oh, now we've just got to find a policeman with a uniform.
Now we've said something, so we have to do it.
I know. All right.
Oh, no.
Plug in the Snapchat and let's answer these questions. First one this morning.
Good morning, guys. If somebody asked you what you looked like, how would you explain yourself to them?
Oh, that's a really hard question. I don't know. I don't like describing myself.
I would say expect Ben Barrington be awfully disappointed. That's how I would explain
you
it.
You are Ben Barrington from Shortland Street stunt double.
Yeah.
That's a fact. I don't know.
Though.
I'm fat is fat double.
Did you ever have those things like on a CV or like has anyone ever said write down and describe yourself? I hate it. I'll just skip that part. I don't know what to say.
Well, that's, you know what that is? That's New Zealanders. Because it's like, describe yourself. And you're like, who's going to read this? That's immediately as a New Zealander. You're like, is this going to be put on an OHT? Am I going to be laughed at a staff meeting? Like, what's where's this going? Because you want to be like, great, hardworking. But the minute you put it up, everyone's just like, bullshit.
Yeah, you're not
He's
that.
He's cocky.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Did we answer that sufficiently?
Yeah. No, you haven't asked what you'd look like.
I don't know what I look like.
Voldemort with a nose. And...
Tread carefully, babes. Tread carefully.
I've got to remember. This is a problem. Everybody, apart from you, I would, because if Megan was here, I just would have just fired straight away.
Go on then.
No, I honestly don't know what would be, because you look Australian to me. You look like
that is not a compliment.
Real pretty.
No, it's a compliment. Real pretty.
Oh, Fletch.
Fletch does compliments. Real pretty. Did you guys hear that?
Almost sincere.
That's the shittest thing I've ever heard.
Real pretty. Hey,
you're real pretty.
You're real pretty.
You get the compliments of a 12-year-old boy.
That was almost really sincere, too, because you cracked up laughing straight up. You said it.
A nervous 12-year-old boy at the school disco.
Next question.
This is a question for Fletch. What's the deal with Karen the Cat? Is there any update?
So Karen the Cat...
Oh, my God.
...is happening. I am getting a cat.
Oh, yeah, I've seen the photos.
Yeah, Karen the Cat has been born. I don't know if I'm going to go with the name Karen yet. That's just a working title.
No, you promised.
It's at this stage, it's a possibility.
I ever call this cat
I am
Karen.
Getting a British blue kitten in about 10 weeks.
And it is.
But you have to wait until 12 weeks.
But you haven't
talked
about it too much.
I haven't talked about it too much.
You haven't had your 12-week scan, so you don't make your sonograph announcement on Facebook.
But stand by for it. So it's going to get its own Instagram, and I'm probably going to talk about it quite a bit. Next question.
Would Caitlin like to come to my 18th in 14 days?
Caitlin's got this real thing with anyone that's 1 year older or no one younger than her.
Yeah, you've got an age thing, hey?
You've got a real... What 18-year-old,
An invitation has been extended to you, Caitlin, for an 18th in 2 weeks.
I would love to go.
Good.
Okay, next question.
Does Laura think that Shane Warne's a dick?
Cricket, bit of cricket band.
Well, you
cricket
hang bands. Out with a lot of cricketers, so is Shane Warne a dick?
He's always been nice to me.
Okay, right.
So sometimes you've got to take people at face value. And his face is particularly interesting, but you always take people at face value.
It's shiny.
He's always been nice to me.
Okay, next one.
Are the producers, James and Caitlin, your bosses?
I wasn't laughing. You guys are laughing at their reaction.
They'd like to think so, wouldn't they, James?
I've got no idea why you're laughing. It's obviously the case.
It is definitely true.
Like when they try to tell us off?
Yeah, yeah. We're like,
try and succeed.
That's what we say to them. Very mature, obviously.
I go into the office and talk to people just so Caitlin gets angry that I'm not in a meeting.
Because you're 5 minutes late to an interview. You can't go and talk to someone.
If you're important, they'll wait. And they don't very often wait.
James and Caitlin actually have the hardest jobs in the world. Next one.
How's Megan getting on in the hospital? Is she out yet? And is her hip okay?
Yes, she is doing well. I mean, she's lying on her back in bed.
So I asked her how it was going. She can only lie on her back because she can't lie on her sides or her stomach because that puts too much pressure on the hip. So she's only on her back. Do you think she'd mind if I mentioned her rash?
Too late now. Too late now.
She's a bit rashy because she can only lie on.
Could be the medication as well. There's lots of possibilities
of what the rash could be.
We shouldn't speculate.
Next question. We'll do one more.
Hey, guys. I got a question for all of you. Who is your celebrity crush? Bye.
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 Cute. She's cute. Celebrity crush.
I don't have a celebrity crush at present. Is that bad?
Yeah, I don't know who either.
I have no idea. I keep seeing Guppy's face.
Oh, God, don't be that person. No, you can't say
it. Yes, I can.
I hate when people do that.
Yes, I can.
You women are like, who's your crush?
He was totes.
My partner, that's the person.
Shut up.
He's
so
perverse.
We ate dinner in separate rooms after what happened here yesterday.
Yeah, 100%.
Celebrity crush.
I got a little something going on with Bernadine Oliver Kirby at the moment.
Is that a crush or parking wars?
It's parking wars.
Wild workplace park wards flirting.
Right. It's not flirting.
It's flirting.
It's not flirting.
She knows her park.
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
Play my music, please. Now, what's the date today?
April 5, 2016.
What?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah, what does that mean?
You got married? No, you got married in November.
Yep. What else?
It's not your birthday?
It's not my birthday. What else? What else could it be?
Come on, even I know.
Come on. What else could it be? What, April 5th?
Is it our anniversary?
It is our anniversary.
Oh my God.
It's our 12th anniversary.
Are you angry at him because he forgot?
Here's your gifts. Now, 12th anniversary, traditional 12th anniversary silk. So you've got some silk brand quality baby wipes there. And the silkiest chocolate known to man, Fluck Luxury. Flake Luxury. What did I just swear?
Fluck Luxury.
Flake Luxury.
Yeah.
So silk is your, how many years?
12.
Have we been together?
We've
12
been married
years.
12 years.
When do you get diamonds?
Are we the longest serving...
That we're definitely the happiest couple of morning radio, I'll tell you that much, without a shadow of a doubt.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Open your card. Read out your card.
Wait, producer Caitlin, did Vaughan do and get these gifts himself, or did he instruct you to get them?
Hands up, I had nothing to do with this.
Oh. Do you feel worse?
Yeah,
now
I do, because Vaughan has made so much effort and he never puts an effort.
No, I don't.
That's his thing, remember?
Is this why you've got glitter all over your face?
Do I have glitter on my face?
Yeah, because there's glitter on this. It's not a glitter. Oh, no, there's glitter on the card. That's
why. This is why I would be terrible if there was some sort of pandemic breakout, because I'm always touching my face.
Okay, so on the cover, it's on our anniversary with love, and it's two little pandas under a blanket sipping champagne.
Oh, your pandas.
Why are they drinking champagne? They're stuffed animals. Silly.
Okay,
can he read it out loud, or is it?
Yes. Is this okay to read on air?
Yes.
Okay. Dear Fletch, people always ask me the secret to our long and happy marriage, and I tell them it's simple. We've never consummated the relationship.
Despite what Google thinks.
Yeah. Most radio couples fizzle out because the sex dries up, but if you never have sex, how can it dry up? Illy, Vaughan.
Boom.
That's so true.
That is.
I love you like Bernadine Oliver Kirby loves parking in the disabled car park downstairs.
She does. Every morning. By the way, I'm having parking wars with BOK.
I know you are. Well, she's only parking there because you're parking in her spot.
I'm not in her spot. That's my spot. I'm 16. She's 13, disabled. That's unlucky.
Well, do you know what? I was told I was 13 when I started, so there's something really going on.
Anyway, she's still mine. Disabled some
this
hours
is too
of
much.
The day.
Okay, we're taking away from what's actually happening.
Okay, yep. Sorry.
On this day in 1994, Kurt Cobain gave us the Foo Fighters. Was that when Dave Grohl launched the Foo Fighters or he shot himself?
He shot himself.
Okay, right.
But I didn't want to say shot himself in an anniversary card.
Love you with all my heart. That's what's in the card. Oh,
that's the pre.
Printed. In brackets, calm down. This is the only card Gull had at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
That is so lovely. I feel so terrible happy? For forgetting. I always forget our anniversary.
Aww. That was really
so
nice.
That was
yeah,
so nice.
Thanks.
Do you want the baby wipes back because you've got babies?
Do you know, I just might keep them in the car because how handy are baby wipes in the car?
Always have baby wipes in the car.
Do you know what else baby wipes are good for? Fly poos on your ceiling and light fixtures.
Better living,
better
everybody.
Living, everybody.
Better living.
If you've got a little brown dot fly poo.
Wow, 12 years.
I know.
The gift of silk.
Cheapest.
That is lovely, isn't it? The gift of silk. Yeah. I've got a luxury flake. A silky.
Luxury flake.
Yeah, I know.
Don't let it ever be said I don't spoil them. It's not a standard flake, which is a delicious enough chocolate.
Yep.
Flake said it's not good enough.
No.
Let's make a silkier, more delicious chocolate. Thus, the luxury flake was born.
And they
oh,
did.
You kids are cute.
Happy anniversary,
happy
Vaughn.
Anniversary.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Fact of the day,
Today's fact of the day is about the animal called a camel.
Camel.
Almost, but not quite. Okay, you want to have a guess what a camel is?
Something to do with a camel.
Yes. And a...
Llama.
Camel
yes. It's a half llama, half camel. And surprise, surprise, the first camel ever born was in 1998 in Dubai.
Okay.
It was a male camel and a female llama. And there was some artificial insemination going on and a camel was born.
I was going to say, would it have been artificial or would that have just been an awkward...
Like a drunken...
Yeah, a drunken...
One big night.
What are you? What are you? You look, but like maybe not really. So apparently they've got a common ancestor.
Okay.
They both came from North America, but of course camels and went that way and llamas went down the Americas.
Yep.
Into South America. Why they originally bred them together... No one's really sure. It's Dubai. They've got too much money to know what to do with. No, apparently the initial breeding was to try to make something with the wool of a llama.
Okay.
But with the toughness of a camel.
Right.
Like so its ability to survive in extreme conditions.
And you'd have a padded ride too if your camel was a llama like. Yeah.
Yes. A slightly more padded ride.
And
indeed,
you'd get more wool off the camel too, wouldn't you?
You would get more wool off the camel because it's bigger. It's bigger than a llama, so you get the llama wool. But then what's it? It's like putting a camel in a fur coat in the desert.
That seems a bit mean.
It seems like it would have evolved the perfect amount of fur for the desert. And now you've chucked the llama in and the guy's constantly wearing a...
You're thinking about like wool to size ratio.
Mm.
They need to breed a llama with a sperm whale. Imagine a woolly whale. Sharing that, you would get how many cardigans off that?
It would drown. Have you ever tried swimming in wool? Very heavy. It has a lot of wool.
Pull you right down.
You might as well chuck a pair of boots and jeans on the whale and throw it in the Mississippi. doesn't stand a chance.
Right, yeah.
Plus, you can't just imagine... imagine if any mammal could impregnate another mammal. That was just how it worked. So you could have half human, half horse.
Yeah.
Why not?
Of course you can.
Imagine when the whale goes to blow out of its blowhole and it's just got this like little bit of hair like
a Donald Trump. Imagine a whale with a Donald Trump hair. That would be
so massive.
Lovely.
But I mean, let's not be stupid. Let's just stick to breeding animals that look a little bit like each other.
Yeah,
so today's fact of the day is a camel is an animal and it's a hybrid between a camel and a llama.
Fact of the day.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
While we're speaking of menly men, I've got some great news for my bald brethren.
Okay.
Bald brothers, rally around and don't worry about getting the hair out of the way of your ears so you can hear me clearly because you're a hearing machine, nothing to block.
Yep, okay.
Nothing to block your ears. Apart from if hair is growing in your ears, that's a problem with bald men. Yeah. We grow hair in other places instead. Science has found out that men with bald heads are perceived to be more masculine, dominant, and stronger. Huzzah!
Is it because bald men look scary?
Maybe.
You just said masculine, but after you followed that up with, you went, huzzah, with your little hand. I don't know how masculine that is.
This is my hand. Huzzah!
I don't know. Have you ever held an axe before? Because if you...
A small tomahawk, not a giant axe. I don't know if I can lift one of those really heavy axes above my head. They're so heavy. Yeah. So heavy.
You look the part until you have to do anything or speak.
So,
what's that noise?
According to the American Hair Loss Association, 2/3 of men will at least lose some hair by the age of 35. I remember, because my dad lost his hair really early.
Mm.
And I remember my nana saying to me, if you're going to lose your hair, do it early, because then you don't age throughout your 20s and 30s. And I think that's the same. My dad's looked the same for like 30 years. But you know, if your dad had a full head of hair, he did look a lot like the four square guy when he was trying to deny the balding, and he'd have a little, not a full comb over, but he just like...
A little something.
A little something. Mm. He looked a lot like the four square guy.
When did you whip yours off?
I shaved my head at 22. And it was a foregone conclusion that it was going to happen by then. So I just thought, deal with it now.
Were you the guy at school that... Because we had a guy at school who had a major receding hairline at school, and he could always buy us liquor. He was the one that went to the booze store. Yeah. Oh, hard liquor. We weren't doing your cans. You ran fairly, Laura.
Well, you're getting a flagon.
You're filling a flagon
of cooking sherry.
You'd get a $10 bottle of Vodies or rum or whatever. But he'd always, most of the time, would get away with it. He'd be one of those people they'd use in a sting.
If Target's do they check the ID before serving this 17-year-old who looks maybe in his late 30s?
Yeah, or they use like a Samoan rugby player.
Yeah.
Who's like 8
like
foot tall.
The biggest 14-year-old you've ever seen in your life.
It's entrapment, Your Honour. It's entrapment.
Like the results of atomic testing in Pacific Islands. Like, that's how big this dude is. He's Thor. Yeah. He's Tongan Thor. And they're using him because he's 17, almost 18, to test if they're checking for ID. But so bald men, by the age of 50, 85% will have experienced some sort of hair loss. But all the while, you're being perceived as being far more manly.
Like the coffee cup says, it's not a bald spot. It's a solar panel for a sex machine.
Who has that?
It's on a cup.
It's a very real accelerated and aggravated cancer risk if you don't put sunscreen on that head, because it's getting sun more than anybody.
Actually,
part of the
true.
Body.
Fletch, Vaughn, and Megan. ZM. Lauren, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we're going to start with you. What's your story for last calls?
Okay, so there was a builder outside our house, and he looked exactly like my boyfriend. I thought it was funny, so I went to go take a picture, and just as I took the picture, he saw the camera and turned around and waved at it.
Have either of you two been busted taking a sneaky photo?
Yes.
For something like this, someone looks like someone, or there's a funny reason.
Do you know, in Japan, taking photos of people without their permission became such a problem that most phones, you can't turn off the camera
noise
now.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. Not just sort of sneaking to take a photo of a builder that looked like your boyfriend, more of taking a photo of someone when they're in the state of undress in the dressing room.
Oh,
that was the problem.
Okay, let's go to Sean next up for last calls. What happened, Sean?
Hi. Me and my mum were doing a market out on Waiheke, and we were coming back on the car ferry.
Okay.
And I
what were you doing on Waiheke, sorry?
A market. They were at the markets.
What's a market?
Flea market.
You were going around and buying other people's trash.
We were doing the flea market. We had our own stall.
Yeah. Ooh, what were you selling?
My mum makes lots of crafts out of wire and boxes and things like that.
Ooh, very Waiheke. Okay.
Love craft.
All right. Okay, so you're back on the ferry.
I needed to go down to the car to get a pillow to sleep on.
Yep.
So I was quite tired, and my brother was standing at the top and said, "Hey, throw the keys up."
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
And me being 8 years old was like, "Yes, I can do this."
Yep.
So I threw the keys, gust of wind came along, and they just went straight over the side of the boat and into the water.
See, you've blamed a gust of wind there, but it would have to be a really strong gust of wind to blow heavy keys that were already on a trajectory.
Mm. Was it the wind, Sean, or was it your bad throw?
Probably both.
Yeah. Okay, all right, wait there. Let's go to Jessica. What's your call for last calls, Jess?
Hi. Well, when I was about 18, I had a pretty decent night out that I don't have much memory of.
Okay.
When I woke up the next morning, my left foot was like hugely swollen. It was really sore to walk on.
Okay.
And some of my guy mates had said it's definitely a spider bite. Put my foot out the window and they'll pee on it. and I thought, oh, yeah, you know, it's what the jellyfish bite sort of thing. So I put my foot out the window and I let them pee on it. And I thought, oh, yeah. And it, and it didn't help at all. So I thought, maybe I'll ring my dad and he can come take me to the doctors.
Oh,
and
dad's going to...
the doctors, yeah. And it turned out I had 3 broken bones in my foot.
And
so
pee.
I had a peed on foot for nothing, but I didn't tell the doctor I got peed on.
Wait, did your friends actually legitimately think that was helping you, or were they just pranking you?
Well, no, they honestly thought I had a spider bite, and they literally believed, like, you know, like...
That's not a thing!
Jelly.
Yeah, it's different!
But I didn't know that!
Oh my mercy.
Does urine help a spider bite? I'm just Googling.
Well, that's also something I would Google before I put my foot out the window and let my
let
friends...
And someone do wheeze on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was 6 years ago. So
right.
It's like...
You're wiser.
Yeah, my foot's really sore and I couldn't walk on it. And it did look like a spider bite. Like, it was so swollen.
Yeah.
And we literally talked about it so much that we thought we could see a spider bite.
Oh, when you come up with a problem and then...
All right.
But it's wheeze, though.
That's okay. All right, it's time to vote for our favourite story today.
Right. Yeah. It really it ticked all the boxes. Jessica, congratulations. Your story of the swollen foot that you thought was a spider bite that turned out to be a broken foot that got wee on it.
Yes, congratulations.
Did you tell Dad that weed on your foot? I wouldn't imagine Dad would have been pleased.
I kind of just said, the boys think it's a spider bite. I didn't quite say they had a really nice...
Yeah.
That was the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. For more, listen from 6 on ZM.
And check them out on Facebook.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.